something on the science of chanting with absorption today with all of you. Let us start, please. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyade Shatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare In our sacred scriptures we find a wonderful text which reminds us how absolutely beneficial this human form of life is to attain the supreme perfection of full Krishna consciousness. I would like to start my lecture with this verse. Lavdva sudulabhamidam bahusam bhavante manusyamatadamanit Yam api hadira tunam yatetana patet anumrit yudyavan nishe asaya vishaya kalu sarvata syat. After many, many births and deaths, one achieves the rare human form of life, which although temporary, affords one the opportunity to attain the highest perfection. I think sometimes in spiritual circles, also in Krishna consciousness, we criticize this world and we also not always mindful of this rare gift. We think of this body. We think this body is so miserable. This body is so useless. It is an abode of pain and so on. And we criticize what Krishna has given us. This rare human form of life is a divine gift. Thus, a sober human being should quickly endeavor for the ultimate perfection of life, as long as his body, which is always subject to death, has not fallen down and died. So here, Shukadev Goswami is making very clear that yes, you have obtained this rare human form of life, but you should use it in a certain way. You should use it as an opportunity to attain the highest perfection. And then it says, if you use it for sense gratification, that's the wrong use. It says, after all, sense gratification is available even in the most abominable species of life, whereas Krishna consciousness is possible only only for a human being. No? So, yes, we have obtained this rare human form of life to attain self-realization, to attain the supreme goal, Krishna Prema. It is said, my dear devotees, this should be is almost a little surprising. Labdva jan mamara pradyam manushyam tat vijagrajam tat anadritya yesvatam gnantiyan yashubam gatim. Those who obtain human life, which is prayed for even by the demigods, and in that human birth become situated as first-class devotees, are extremely fortunate if they disregard this important opportunity. They are certainly killing their own self-interest and thus achieve a most unfortunate end. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that even demigods, they pray to have this human form of life. They even consider this as the greatest possible good fortune for them. What is so special about the human form of life? The human form of life has three special gifts which can be used for the sadhana or spiritual practice. You have obtained a body, you have obtained a mind, and you have obtained a heart. These three can be engaged in material pursuits. You can just live for a happy life in the material world, and in this way do not use the human form of life properly. But if you can recognize the supreme gift which has been given from Goloka Vrindavan, that is the holy name, then you can make your human life successful. The holy name has come, Golokera Premadhana Harinama Sankirtana. It has come right from through the layers of the universe. It has passed Brahmaloka, the planets of the demigods, and it has come here into this world so that it can be chanted. And if you learn to do this properly, then you use two gifts, the human form of life and the holy name, to reach your perfection. I will ask my assistant Gokrishna to get a very nice quotation from Srila Prabhupada for you. It is in the blue ring book, notebook. But let us for now be very clear about this. The human form of life is ideal for spiritual practice. And the most ideal spiritual practice is the chanting of the holy names, which has come right down from Goloka Vrindavan here into this this world. I have long talked for many, many seminars and retreats on using the human, or on how to make this sadhana, the spiritual practice, perfect. And I request all of you who are now listening to this to take this as your personal training session. You might have to make a few notes to remember what you will be hearing now, so that you can apply it. This is not a theoretical class. It is meant to motivate you to use your human form of life. See, many, many times we think, yes, I must have a good, somehow an acceptable life, and then I practice a little spiritual life on the side. But no, this is wrong. You must put the main emphasis on the practice, and from all practices which can give you love of God, which can give you the perfection, the chanting is the supreme practice. Lord Chaitanya says that this, that the nine processes of devotional service have extraordinary power to bring you to Krishna. But of all these practices, the special practice is the chanting of the holy name, because it can give you love of God. It can give you the greatest gift. Now, you might ask, how should we use this rare human form of life, which has been given to us for only this one reason? And I think we only need to know four things to make this practice perfect and learn to chant with absorption. These four things have been explained by Srila Prabhupada in his book, The Quest for Enlightenment. They are like this. First, when you start this practice, you should put a regular time aside in which you chant. It should be preferably in the morning hours, and it should be only, and it should be best, if you can do it, at the same place, at the same time. You should be prepared to do this over a long period of time with some devotion and enthusiasm. And then this will give you the full absorption. Then you should look, what do I have for this practice of chanting the holy name? And the first thing which comes to mind is your body, your unique human body. It should be used to sit properly. Pratik, you please sit straight. yes. And you should pronounce the mantra very clearly with your tongue. It should be pronounced distinctly and very clearly. This is what Srila Prabhupada says. This is what you do with your body. You sit it, bring it in an upright position, because then you can concentrate much better. And then after this, you should chant distinctly and clearly using your lips. You should use your ears to absolutely absorb the sound vibration and hear it. You must be aware that the body, when you try to use it for Krishna consciousness, can offer some obstacle. It is discussed in Harinam Chintamani that the obstacle the body offers is laziness and sleepiness. So if you want to have a body which can assist you in chanting, you must start the night before by going to bed early, even if you live in Mumbai or London, where the real activity happens in the night, no? These big cities are notoriously known for engagement in the night. But no, you should sleep during the night so that in the morning you can get up and at the proper time use your body, which is well rested, to pronounce the holy name very distinctly and clearly. Let us do this. Now sit up. Ramila Das Prabhu, sit properly. And your task will now be to speak the holy name very clearly and to listen to it very, very clearly. Only this you have to do. I will chant and then one time alone, and then I will give you your sign. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Let us chant more. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. What we are trying to learn today is to chant the holy name with full absorption. So for this, we are using our body, our mind, and our heart. When maybe now you have chanted very nicely and distinctly, but if you don't come now to the next level, you will not yet have chanted with absorption. The next level is described by Srila Prabhupada like this. I want to find this for you. He says, concentrate. When the mind wanders, bring it back to the sound of the Lord's holy name. This is important. We need to concentrate. I would like to give you an analogy from the Chandogya Upanishad. The mind is by nature very restless, and it is difficult to be concentrated. More often than not, the mind is distracted, either by things which go on outside of you, objects which you see, or also by memories which are inside of you. So the Upanishads give a very nice image that tell us how important how it is possible to concentrate the mind. They speak of a bird and compare it with the mind, the falcon. Do you know what a falcon is? Yes, Ramila. Yes, please nod your head. It's a bird which is used by kings to spot some animals, deer or lions or anything. The falcon, in order to do his job, needs some training. So the trainer is tying the falcon by a string on his foot to a perch. You know, it's like a piece of wood. And in the beginning, the falcon, who is in training, will try to fly here and there and everywhere. But finally, because it is tied to the perch, the piece of wood, it settles there. So in the same way, as we tie a falcon, we have to also bind our mind. To what do we bind it? To the Ma mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. In the beginning, the mind will want to fly away to other objects or to past memories, and it will not stay with the mantra. But if you have this determination, I want to concentrate, if you have bound the mind to the mantra, then eventually, after some time, the restless mind settles into the mantra and stays with the holy name. So when you start chanting, you have to be willing to bind the mind to the mantra. What this means is that whenever the mind wanders and flies away, at such a time, you should quickly bring the mind back from wherever you, whenever, the moment you catch it going away, you should say, oh good, now come back to the mantra. This is the art of concentration. So I want to chant now with all of you. This time we will pronounce and listen, but we will also engage our mind. Whenever we will just let the mind be with the Maha Mantra, and whenever the mind wanders, then we will bring it back to the sound of the holy name. Again, I will chant alone, and then I will give you a little sign, this sign, and then I will request you to close your eyes and really do this exercise. Just let the mind settle with the sound of the holy name. Concentrate on it. Just like you may concentrate on something you want to read. You look very concentratedly and find out the message. In exactly the same way, you are concentrating the mind on listening to the holy name. I will do it one time alone and then with you together. Please sit properly. Take a few deep breaths and just listen to the sound of the mantra. Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is a certain discipline which you have to be prepared to undergo. You're trying to focus the mind. You're trying to make it one-pointed. But because it is restless, it cannot stay for a long time at one place, and it will go away from the point. At that time, you should not become attached to the thoughts which it has when it is distracted. But you should gently and calmly bring the mind back to just listening to the holy name. The last, just like the body is giving an obstacle, that is laziness and sleep when we want to chant, the mind also will offer an obstacle, that is distraction. But just like with the body, you sit properly, you take the morning hours, when you are well rested, that's very important that you take care to rest nicely. Then you can also discipline the mind by just doing this simple exercise. The moment you see that it wanders, bring it back. Sometimes devotees are becoming angry with their mind when it wanders. Oh no, again, my mind is somewhere else. But I don't think this is good to become angry. Become happy that you noted that the mind became distracted. Because now you have the possibility to bring it back. I have one friend who is a professor, and this professor has a dog. He used to have a dog. The dog is now passed away. So sometimes when I visited him, I suggested to my friend, let us walk. And the professor said, yes, we can walk, but is it all right for you if I take my dog along? And I said, yes, if this is the only way, you know, how you can bring your dog outside, because it has to pass stool and so on, then you can definitely take it with you. But make sure it does not distract us from our conversation. No, no, it's a very good dog, said the professor. So I remember we would walk. The dog would walk with us for some time. But then it became distracted. It saw in the distance a deer running away. The dog immediately began to follow it. So my friend, the professor, had a special, whistle, and he would whistle, beep, 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 and then the dog would hear it, and it would return. That was the ideal that he would notice that the dog would run away to chase after some wild animals. That was the ideal situation. But sometimes we didn't notice that the dog had run away because we were engaged in our conversation. And then this was a bad situation because the dog would cause trouble to the animals who were there in that area. So this is an analogy. Your mind also walks with you for some time, but then it becomes attentive to what is there in the distance. And mind you, it could be an object which you see, but it could also be the memories of past things that had gone on. And at that time, you need to really catch the mind. If you don't do it, there might be a harmful reaction. You might become entangled. You might be lose your focus on the holy name, and your practice of chanting will only be a counting game. You know, where whenever you finish one round, you pull the the counting bead down, like a little child who learns to count to 10 and 16 by putting the beads in the counter to whatever side it needs to put it. So, if you don't want your chanting to be just an external physical activity where you move your lips, you have to learn to concentrate your mind. And that is a simple work. You need to always bring it back when it wanders, just like in the analogy of walking with a dog. No? My dear listeners, you have heard now about two practices that included the body and the mind. We are looking at these practices because we want to attain full absorption. But if you don't learn the third practice, everything will remain very Krishna, un-Krishna consciousness. You need to enter a prayerful mood while you chant. In a simple language, it means, O Radha, O Krishna, please engage me in your service. Please accept me. Only if you can chant in a prayerful mood is your heart engaged. The heart is crucial for spiritual sadhana. When you are not engaged in your heart, the heart will offer you the worst possible obstacle, that is indifference. Indifference means you don't really care about it. Indifference is the greatest obstacle for the conditioned soul. We have stopped to care for Krishna and we care for so many other things. I have always recommended to the devotees that they chant in one mood that is expressed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I will try to find this shloka for you so that it will be easy for you to engage the heart. I will look this verse up for you. If Krishna is merciful,
I will find it. Yes.
In this verse, the devotee really turns consciously towards Krishna. In this verse, really, all the wisdom of Krishna consciousness is hidden. It is, the verse is like this. Krishna to mahana yadi bale kapara maya banda hoite Krishna tare kare para. My dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in this material world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please accept me.
You can find this verse if you want to look it up in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Matya Lila, Madhya Lila, 22nd chapter, verse
33.
Once again, CC Madhya
22:33.
This is a very, very good letter. I think you should write it with your heart. Maybe what you should do is take this verse and go when you are undisturbed, maybe be in your room and just pray it from your heart. My dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please accept me. This means you chant with your heart. This means you are overcoming the long-standing obstacle of indifference towards the holy name. Then in this way, you can chant with your heart. I would like to now summarize what I have said so that it's easy for you to apply it. Please know that you have obtained a rare gift by Krishna. There are two gifts in your life. One is your body and the mind and the heart. And the other is the holy name, which has come from Goloka Dham to deliver the fallen conditioned soul. You have to make the two meet. They have to sincerely meet. The body will be lazy, the mind will be distracted, and the heart will be indifferent. But you can overcome the laziness of the body by fixing up a regular time in which you do your chanting. It's as regular as your morning break fast or your lunch and so on. Then you have to pronounce with your body the Maha Mantra very clearly and distinctly. And then you use your mind, you train it to concentrate, and then you chant also with your heart. And then when the three come together, chanting the holy name, you will reach after some time some very good absorption. See, this was once a white dhoti, but it was put into a saffron color, and it has absorbed the color so much that now we speak of a saffron or uttariya. In the same way, our mind and body and heart are material, but if we absorb it in the chanting of the holy name, it will become spiritual, it will become colored. But this is a science which you have to be willing to adopt. If you wish to know more about this chanting with absorption, I've written a book on this, and a gentleman should actually not speak about his own books. So I will not show it to you. It's called The Living Name. If you want, you can check it out. Here is, I promised you the quotation of Srila Prabhupada about what you have learned today. You can chant the holy names of the Lord anywhere and at any time, he says. But it is best to set a specific time of the day to regularly chant. The early morning hours are ideal. So how do you do this? He says, concentrate on hearing the sound of the holy name. As you chant, pronounce these names clearly and distinctly, addressing Krishna in a prayerful mood. When your mind wanders, bring it back to the sound of the Lord's name. So these are four instructions. A specific time needs to be set away where you regularly chant. You need to pronounce the names clearly and distinctly. You need to concentrate and bring the mind back when it wanders, and you need to enter a prayerful mood. No? That is what you do with the body, mind, and heart. So I hope that this was very useful to you, but I must say that it is not... my class is not successful if you don't apply it, starting with tomorrow morning. You should definitely make this a practice which you do. Good. Now, I want to see, I think our Braja Vallabhi is our host here. I want to see if there are any questions. You can also put the questions in the comment and I can see it. Braja Vallabhi, how would you like us to take the questions and give the answers?
Maharaj, Prabhu will take up the questions now on behalf of everyone, and you can answer them.
Yeah.
How would you like it, Maharaj? Shall Prabhu ask on behalf of everyone? I think
because I don't know how to handle the computer very expertly. Just someone of you whom you design.
Yes. We are having somebody ask the question.
Good. First question.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you so much for always inspiring me to chant. We often chant and try to apply these principles you shared. I had come for the holy name retreat also and tried to chant. But because of many material conditions or time-taking services, we aren't able to maintain consistency. What is the key to consistency in chanting?
May I ask you, are you consistently eating?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is a question from Pratik.
It's not your question. Good. So, who is it? Pratik is. Pratik, are you? Whoever asked the question, are you eating regularly? Next question for you: are you sleeping regularly? Most probably, the answer is yes. So, why are you not chanting regularly? You are in Maya. You do not understand that it is necessary. You understand it's necessary to sleep. You understand it's necessary to eat. But you don't think the chanting is necessary. Therefore, you are inconsistent. You are not yet convinced of this. How can you become more convinced? You have to become more convinced by three things. Listen very carefully. You need to understand the philosophy of the Holy Name better. You need to associate more with people who are convinced. And then you need to do the practice. These are the three P's. Like the letter P, philosophy, people, practice. They will make you consistent so that you can do your practice regularly. Now there is another little piece of advice which I want to give you. Prabhupada once spoke about this. He said, when I was a householder, I would chant 4 rounds before each meal and 4 rounds before retiring in the meeting. In this way, 16 rounds could be chanted without any difficulty. Then he laughed and he said, if you don't take prasadam before chanting your 4 rounds, then you will be sure to get them chanted. See, here we have an example of someone who is convinced. I really feel we must first build up our Shraddha in the chanting of the Holy Name. We must be convinced. And that happens by these three things: philosophy, people, and practice. Was that all right for you?
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Actually, I could not put my question properly. By your mercy, I have been chanting regularly 16 rounds in some time. But I am not able to apply these principles regularly, that we have to chant with prayers, we have to chant early morning, every day, every single day. We are able to follow this for some time, but in between some problems come and then we are not able to follow all this properly. And then again we need some inspiration to move forward, to apply those principles.
Yeah, you are correct. You need regular inspirations. I have therefore offered for the devotee community something, you know, because I see what you are expressing is a regular subject for many devotees. I have done presented daily japa inspirations. Each day, one inspiration, and I request our Raja Vallabhi to put it up for everyone. It's on facebook.com/sachinandan.swami. Huh? We can make...
Session.
Sorry?
Yes, sure, Maharaj. We'll put it up on the chat box for everyone to access.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. There, my effort or my goal of putting these daily japa inspirations up is to give devotees who are in your situation a boost. Because you're right, the material energy offers so many obstacles. Not only our body, not only our mind, not only our heart offer obstacles, but you know you have to be active in the world, maybe for earning your livelihood. And sometimes our bodies are a little bit more tamasic, we are more sleepy in other words, or there is some problem coming up, medicinal problem, social problem. So we do need inspirations. There is a prayer which the devotee offers to Krishna. It says, "My dear Lord, please give me taste and in this way maintain my life. Give me taste, give me ruchi." So, yes, you know what I do to keep inspired to chant my rounds with the maximum concentration? I have prayers which I chant in the beginning of my sessions. You know, like in our temples, we pray the Shikshastakam prayers before we start our japa to inspire us. So inspiration has to come daily, almost.
Another question is, Maharaj, what is the ideal speed for chanting? If we really try to concentrate like we did while chanting with you, it will take a lot of time.
Yes. The ideal speed for chanting is around 7 minutes per round. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one of his books, says that how was it? In one prahara, four rounds can be chanted. A prahara is period between 24 minutes, 28 minutes, actually 24 minutes. So 24 divided by 4 is 6 minutes, no? 6 minutes. So it's 6 to 7 minutes is the ideal speed for chanting. But see, some of our mouths are not yet used to chant so consistent, and therefore it may be difficult to maintain this speed very easily, 6 to 7 minutes per round. Krishna does not, as he listens to your chanting, he's not having a stopwatch there and looks, how long do you take per round? Chant nicely, that's the idea. There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, everywhere are his legs, everywhere are his eyes, everywhere are his ears. The Lord is everywhere and he waits for you to chant. So he does not have a... It doesn't say everywhere is his stopwatch. No, he is wanting to hear you chant nicely with devotion. But still, yes, 6 to 7 is when you are an experienced chanter, you will use this much per round, 6 to 7 minutes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Sometimes if we have not rested well, and next day we still get up to maintain the time schedule, and our japa gets affected. So what is more important, to get up at the scheduled time or to chant when we are fresh?
Yeah, this is a very good question, a very practical question. I would say, look at the whole day. If you have time that day to rest a little longer when you come back from a late evening program, yes? And then you can get up a little later to rest extra. If there is time to do this, you know, and you don't have to go out at a certain time to your work or so on, then I would recommend to sleep. I personally have been in lectures and in other situations where Srila Prabhupada saw devotees just struggling so hard during his lectures or when they chanted. Prabhupada saw them and then he said, you may go to bed and rest and then come back when you are rested and chant and or listen to the lecture later. I have seen this a few times. But if you don't have time, when the day is packed so full, then you have to somehow see how you can chant attentively. I like this, let us say, time program of Srila Prabhupada, where he said, you can chant 4 rounds before the breakfast, 4 rounds before the lunch, 4 rounds before the dinner, and 4 rounds before bed. That was a way he himself chose. Good. We have 3 more minutes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, is it okay if we walk and chant around? How does it help to chant at the same place every day and same time?
Yeah. We are lucky, we have some Prabhupada quotations on your question where he says, in the evening, says Prabhupada, if I get tired, I walk and chant. If you are tired, then walk and chant like I do. Sometimes if I'm tired, I pace back and forth in the room. Simply in one room, you can do everything. If you're tired, you can stand up and chant or walk. No? So yes, it is definitely very, very important or possible to walk and chant if one is tired. However, if one is not tired, there is benefit to sit. In the Vedanta Sutra, Baladev Vidyabhushana writes comments to the shlokas, and he says, prayer and japa should ideally be done while sitting. See, when you sit, then this is more a sattvic situation, whereas pacing back and forth is more rajasic, and lying down is more tamasic. No? So sattva is most conducive to spiritual practice, and therefore you should definitely aspire to sit. And if you go to the same place each day, you know, you build something up. I'm not speaking of chanting in the temple room, but I'm speaking in chanting at home with one's, it's called a baitak, a sitting place. And when one goes there again and again and chants, one builds up devotional energy. I thank you very much, my dear devotees. It was a genuine pleasure to chant with you and to talk about chanting. I want to sum it up. So please take this with you. This very nice instruction of Prabhupada, how to chant with absorption, that is, to use the body, mind, and the heart and so on. And if you are like our devotee, if you are eager to have some daily japa inspiration, please you may go to this facebook.com/Sachinandan Swami. Braja Vallabhi, could you please put this up?